Friends, as we continue in worship, we have the opportunity to read upon the scriptures. I'm going to be reading in Luke 23, 26 through 31. Let me turn there myself. The words will also be found on the screen. It says, as they led him away, they seized a man, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country. And they laid the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A great number of the people followed him, and among them were women who were beating their breasts and wailing for him. But Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children, and for your children. For the days are surely coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do this when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. God, we love you and we thank you for this time together as we meet together in this place for this time of worship. We're grateful for this community, for music, for your scriptures, for word, for a reminder that we walk with one another on this journey of faith as we seek to be your body for the world. Lord, we love you, and I ask that you speak through me and in spite of me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So last week we talked we've been looking at this Unlikely Lent series. Last week we talked about unlikely freedom as we looked at the story of Barabbas and Jesus and the release of Barabbas and the demand for Jesus to be crucified. We read that from the Gospel of Matthew, and now we're here in the Gospel of Luke. And we read about Simon of Cyrene. Cyrene was roughly about 850 miles from Jerusalem, and the travel was difficult and dangerous and expensive. It was a journey. Located in what is now North Africa, around the present-day Libya, it wasn't 850 miles in that time. Wasn't just a day's journey; it was multiple days. Very little is known about Simon from Cyrene or why he happened to be in the area of Jerusalem that day. Nothing indicates that Simon was a follower of Jesus or Jewish, or that he had any interest in the crucifixion of two thieves and a rabbi. However, based on his name, one could assume that he was in Jerusalem for Passover. And as Simon's there in the crowd, as this story begins, he's there in the festival, and I'm sure there were smells of good food all around and sounds of music and merchants, probably filled with excitement that he has finally made it there to Jerusalem after such a long journey. Simon made his way among them, and suddenly, as he is there with the people, he noticed the Roman soldiers pushing a man forward, his back bent under the weight of a wooden beam, and before Simon could turn away, one of the soldiers grabbed him and made him carry the cross. The scripture says, as they led Jesus away, they seized a man, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country, and they laid the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. The words weren't a request, but a demand, and so Simon did as he was told. He lifted the rugged wooden cross onto his shoulders, and step by step, he walked with Jesus, a stranger bound to another's suffering. I bet Simon was surprised that day, minding his own business, coming in from the countryside, and all of a sudden, at the drop of a hat, he was seized and demanded to help Jesus carry the cross. Not knowing where he was going, all Simon could do was follow an unfamiliar path to an unknown destination and face an unknown destiny. Those who follow Jesus often don't know how or where or what, but we always know who, the who that we follow, and we focus on the who that leads us, as God knows the way. for Simon, the opportunity to move from the sidelines and the onlookers to an active participant in the redemption story came in an unexpected way. He moved from being this out-of-towner, just arriving on the scene, to being in the middle of walking with Jesus in this difficult journey, where on one side was this crowd yelling for Jesus to be crucified, and on the other side, women wailing and beating their breasts, calling in grief of Jesus. And Billups asks in the book, how could so much love and hate coexist in one place as we witness those who mocked Jesus beside those who loved him? How could so much love and hate exist in one place? Maybe we ask that question as we look around the world, at the way things are and the way things God desires for them to be in our call as the church. Simon was called to help carry the cross. It was unexpected. He didn't have time to prepare or even really think about it. He was told and he was just had to do it. He might have felt like, wait, hold on. I'm not ready. I'm not qualified. I didn't come for this. I didn't train. Even though Simon of Cyrene is only mentioned once in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and not at all in John's Gospel, this visitor became an unlikely companion in the story of Jesus' passion. And if this frustrated Roman soldier had not singled Simon out to help assist Jesus in carrying the cross, Simon would have possibly just watched Jesus walk on by. But the story has it to where we see Simon prevent Jesus from carrying the cross alone. And in doing so, became part of the greatest love story that we've ever known. You know, there are many things that happen to us in our life that we would never expect. Our call to respond can come disguised in pain and disappointment and loss and despair. Life seems to hand us moments that we did not willingly agree to experience. Most days, we just want to go about our business, our own agendas, and do the good that we want to do, embrace the good, go and be comfortable and avoid the conflict at whatever way we can. But sometimes life hands us situations that we simply cannot ignore. Billups says it's in those moments that we say to ourselves, I didn't sign up for this. Who asked me? Since St. Patrick's Day is coming up this week, it always comes to my attention that it was on St. Patrick's Day that my brother passed by suicide now 13 years ago. Amy and I just recently married, expecting our first child, Benjamin, went from just strictly preparing ourselves and our house to receive our first child to also caring for my brother's four children as well. And we thought, we didn't sign up for this. But we did it. Life seized us and brought us to that moment. And we did it. But let me tell you, we didn't just do it. So many people did it with us. The church was right there to help. They gave us time that we needed. They supported us in so many different ways. They helped us pick kids up from school. They helped feed our family. They helped set up a baby room while we had to go to the hospital unexpectedly because Ben needed to be born 4 weeks early and we weren't ready. I could go on and on. A little over 2 years ago, you know how our lives went from never going to the doctor to a calendar filled with doctor's appointments. and trying to keep track of where we're supposed to be at what time we're supposed to be there. As I received my cancer diagnosis, and we didn't sign up for this. But life seized us and brought us to that moment. And once again, we didn't and haven't done it alone. This church responded and prayed and has walked beside my family and sat with us in the chair and helped us carry the suffering that we face. And I could go on and on. As you think about your life, you have those moments. You recall those moments. I didn't sign up for this. Who asked me? Those moments of life, those moments that none of us would ever choose or wish to happen to anyone, those moments that make us pretty angry with God, if we're honest, those moments that we wish we could forget. Philip says there's something in the book, she says, there's something beautifully horrific about experiencing some forms of suffering. And perhaps that's because we do not suffer alone. Beauty is revealed in the gift of one another. I love that. Beautifully horrific about experiencing some forms of suffering, because even though we don't choose them, we don't wish them on anyone, we do not suffer alone. You see, Simon became an unlikely companion to Jesus and to the women. Together, they stepped into the suffering of one another and embodied what it means to walk alongside another in pain, not with the intent to fix the pain, not to remove the suffering, but to simply be present. Throughout both of my stories, and probably all that you have, when people come into our life and walk with us in those moments, can't fix me. We can't fix the situation, but we can be present. We can be a companion. We can walk with one another and enter into the suffering with others on the journey. And that's what we see Simon do in the story for this morning. Friends, our circumstances and our sufferings aren't the same. You have yours, we all have ours, but the opportunity's the same. We have the opportunity to be a companion to others. And the truth of the crucified and resurrected Savior still moves through the world today. Jesus walked through the suffering, and in doing so, he showed us that suffering is not the end of the story. We're meant to handle pain, challenges, and suffering. And as a Christian in the walk with Christ, we follow a suffering servant who gives us an example. It's part of our human makeup. It's the residue of being human. The suffering that we bind with one another is what brings us together as brothers and sisters, and we were designed to be in deep relationship with one another. To walk with one another. To be a companion with one another. Today's Umcor Sunday. Moments in so many people's lives around the world in which they would say, I didn't sign up for this. Who asked me? Umcor Sunday, United Methodist Committee on Relief. I think there's a slide up there, Nathan. Umcor's Methodist response, and you can see just in 2025, responded to 30 floods, 11 tropical storms, 5 fires, 6 tornadoes, 29 migration events, 3 landslides, 5 earthquakes, 7 conflict civil unrest, 3 public health emergencies, and 16 other kinds of disasters. That's in 1 year. Been doing this a long time. This organization of United Methodist Committee on Relief through its assets allows the Methodist Church to respond when disaster hits. And it does so in a way that people who go through whatever they may be going through at the moment know that the church is there and that nobody suffers alone. People of God enter into those situations, enter into the suffering to be present. Not necessarily able to fix it, but to allow people to know that God sees them, God is there to help, and that suffering is not the end of the story. You see, in God's kingdom, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness shall never overcome it. That is the hope that we hold on to as we go about those moments in our lives that we say, I didn't sign up for this. God says, I'm with you. I'm here. May we go together. Let us pray. Gracious God, we love you and we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for the opportunity to go this week and to enter into moments that people have experienced suffering and to be present and to walk alongside folks, to bring hope for the journey ahead. And so God, may as we go about the different challenges in our life and as those that we've experienced, may we remind ourselves that we are not alone. And we're grateful for the church, for people of God who walk with us each and every moment. May our eyes and ears be open to moments that are to come. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.